Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Once again, James Edwards is on the road, has taken off for parts unknown on some adventure. So tonight it's Radio Free James. I will be your host. I'm Bill Rowland, and with me is Keith Alexander, and you are listening to the Political Cesspool radio program broadcast from Memphis and Millington, Tennessee on AM 1600 and AM 1380. And tonight it'll be Keith and I as pilot and co-pilot, whichever one you want to call pilot is fine, but we'll be covering the events of the week and, of course, the anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education, also known as Brown versus Topeka, and a very important watershed in American history as well as American education. Keith, I know this is a subject on which you are more than quite knowledgeable, in which I count you as an expert, and one which you have covered before on this show, but continues to be a point of reference for the decline not only of American education, but American society and culture as well.
Absolutely right on those last two points. Now, about my expertise, I don't know about that, but let me just say this. Every year, on the Saturday closest to May the 17th, we have a show devoted primarily to the Brown decision. And if you have to wonder why that is, then you really don't understand what has happened to America with the triumph of liberalism. May the 17th, 1954, Black Monday, as it was called by Southern segregationists, is the date when America began to decline. It was also the date when the Brown decision was handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to go into a lot of detailed analysis. We've got 3 hours today because James has flown the coop. And as a result, Bill and I are going to really dissect and turn this thing over and over and let everybody understand just why the Brown decision is such an important watershed in American history. It's as big a watershed, quite frankly, as the Civil War was, as the American Revolution was. You can't name another historical event in American history that has more significance and more importance. If you want to know why America is in a state of inexorable decline at the present time, you need to understand the Brown decision. Unfortunately, for most of the conservative-minded people in America today, mainstream conservatives insist on being the amen corner of liberalism regarding the Brown decision. If you listen to Sean Hannity, if you listen to Laura Ingraham, if you listen to Ann Coulter, if you listen to Bill O'Reilly, if you listen to, just name them, all the big talking heads of so-called mainstream conservatism, they all worship at the shrine of Brown versus Board of Education. Nobody has anything bad to say about it. But it is the beginning of the end of the old America that at least was able to sustain the sustained shocks of things like the Civil War and the New Deal. The final death blow was administered by the Brown decision. Bill, give me some comments on that.
Well, first of all, Keith, one of the things I think that's most overlooked by historians and also journalists, commentators, is the fact that the so-called scientific research or the opinions on which Brown relied came from total frauds. Gunnar Myrdal's so-called research into the social cultural impacts of segregation was based on speculation and fraudulent research, as was the Clark's research on the black doll and white doll tests given to blacks regarding their self-esteem. All the research that supposedly supported the court's decision was completely fabricated and came from leftist propaganda mainly, and from Marxist cultural ideals, and had nothing to do with, in fact, the reality of segregated schools.
There are two main things that you need to understand when you're breaking down the Brown decision, in my opinion. First of all, you have to understand, as Bill was alluding to, that the Brown decision was dishonestly and misleadingly pitched to the Supreme Court. It was a result of Machiavellian maneuvering. It was masterminded by none other than Associate Justice Felix Frankfurter, who just happened to be the only Jewish justice on the Supreme Court at the time that the Supreme Court was entertaining the Brown versus Board of Education case. He was the mastermind, assisted as he was by a former law clerk and fellow son of Israel named Philip Ellman. Philip Ellman had been his law clerk back in the 40s when he was first on the court, and then he went on to become Solicitor General of the United States, or worked in the Solicitor General's office, excuse me, and was therefore working with the NAACP on this decision. And because of his prior contacts with Frankfurter, they got together and they had kind of a deep throat, a la Watergate relationship, in which they met secretly and clandestinely after hours and passed information back and forth with back channel communication, basically giving the NAACP lawyers the benefit of an inside view of all of the court's conversations and every justice's viewpoint on the decision. This was information that was not provided to John W. Davis of Davis, Wardwell, and Polk, who was arguing against the plaintiff or the appellant in the Brown case. In other words, he was arguing that the proper analysis would be based on the separate but equal doctrine, which was the established law on the issue at the time that this case came up. And if the case had been decided in accordance with the foundational principle of judicial interpretation called stare decisis, there would never have been a Brown decision that ruled that the case that public schools had to be racially integrated in order to pass muster under the 14th Amendment. Now, that dishonest method of arriving at the decision is one of the important factors of the decision. The other thing is, this was the final breaking of the code by the left of the Constitution. This is how they picked the lock, and they have used this method that was basically devised in the Brown decision time and again. The stratagem that they used was the power of judicial review. They use this as a trump card. As Pat Buchanan said in Death of the West, this is the moment in history in which the left learned how to... when the left learned
Don't
how
go
to...
Away.
When the left learned how to rule America without...
America has lost her way, lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked. As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up, America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
And welcome back to the show. As I said before, it's a Radio Free James program tonight. Tonight, hosted by myself, Bill Rowland, and my co-host, Keith Alexander, who is talking about Brown versus Board of Education, also known as Brown versus Topeka, the landmark decision which desegregated schools all over this country and which led to really the decline and eventually the fall of American society and culture. And Keith was discussing the legal conspiracies, I guess you'd say, or legal intrigues involved in bringing Brown to court for the benefit of the civil rights movement and leaving the defendants in the case pretty much uninformed. So we'll pick it back up. Now, Keith, let me ask you something. Brown was based on the perception that black and white schools, segregated schools, could never be made equal through funding or through any program that would bring the schools up to speed. That is, the equality perception was based on black and white only, when in fact a great disparity existed between, for instance, schools in the North and schools in the South. But there was never a remedial solution, either legally or governmentally, to bring about equalization of North and South schools, nor between rural and city schools. So, in fact, there was a false perception that all black schools were inferior to all white schools, when in fact there were some black schools that were better staffed and equipped in the city of Memphis, for instance, than you'd find in a white school in Fayette County or in rural Mississippi.
Well, that's part of the deal, but like I was saying, there's much more significance to the Brown decision and the method by which it was achieved than just the racial integration of schools. It was basically, as Buchanan said, the moment in history when the left learned how to govern and rule America without winning elections or persuading legislators. They found the trump card, the power of judicial review. Now, what happened on the racial integration front regarding the schools is very, very significant, though, and I'm glad that you touched on it, because this is kind of like the poison pill that infected the whole beast of American society. basically white people are like an endangered species. Like many another endangered species, when you disturb our nesting grounds, we stop reproducing. One of the big problems in America today is that the white population has stopped growing. We are losing ground all the time. How many families do you know in which the children have not had two children each? For example, you know a family that you were growing up with that had three children. One of those children may have had three children. One of those children may have had one children, and the other one had no children. So consequently, between three children, you'd have to have six offspring or six grandchildren in order to keep pace, but instead you had four. So basically, that particular family is leading to the decline of the white demographic in America. Now, what has brought this on, I think, has much to do with the racial integration of schools. When the white population can't be depending upon free, quality education, and you can't in racially integrated schools, the natural instinct of white parents when they're confronted with racially integrated schools that have all of the disadvantages that everybody knows are associated with racially integrated schools. You don't see the Kennedys or the Bushes, for example, sending their children to the typical Washington, D.C. public schools when they inhabit the White House, do you? And the reason you don't is that no parents that are not abusive would be willing to throw their kids into the black hole of the veritable black hole of Calcutta that public schools are. So consequently, in a place like Washington, D.C., in any place that has a substantial minority population, particularly a black population. So consequently, what has happened, this has led directly to the decline in white birth rates, in my opinion. Bill, what's your opinion on that?
Certainly is contributory to the decline in white birth rates. I think working women is another factor that really can't be ignored. The fact that the family has been broken down by feminism and other factors that have led to really a contempt for marriage.
Well, why are so many women working? A lot of women are working because they have to work because their husband's income is not enough to afford what? To afford private school education for their children, again, necessitated by the advent of the racial integration brought about by the Brown decision.
Well, certainly. I mean, we're seeing from the Brown decision, we're beginning to realize the ripple effect of one decision and how it impacts not only a school, but a neighborhood, a family, a city, a county, and a state. And it goes on and on. The ripple effect continues throughout the whole culture and society and government. So, I think it's become, Brown versus Board of Education has become one of almost the religious experiences of the left and of America now. It's been absolutely imprinted into our minds that this was a great achievement, that this was some great accomplishment for American egalitarianism. Now, the thing is, let's keep in mind that the public schools are the houses that liberals built. The liberals have been virtually in control of education long before Brown versus Board of Education. In the 1920s and 30s with the teachers' academies and John Dewey, and education was already headed in a very liberal, even liberal communist Marxist direction. And so the groundwork was laid for Brown long before the decision was made in terms of the system, in terms of putting liberals in place who would be determined to make this program succeed, determined to make integration succeed. All right, this is the house that liberals built. I mean, what do you think of this house? What kind of house is it?
Well, it's pretty obviously a lousy house. Now, of course, if you say that, you are an arch heretic in the eyes of mainstream conservatives and liberals alike in America today. But what does the Bible say? It says, "Do not be deceived, you shall know them by their fruits. Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Well, what is the change in public education between 1954 and today? Have test scores, standardized test scores like the SAT and the ACT, gone up or down? Well, they've obviously gone down. academic achievement is in a tailspin. We used to be at the top of the industrialized world in terms of our children's academic achievement, particularly in public schools. When I went to school back in the dark ages, I got out in about 69. If you went to a private school in the city of Memphis, that meant you were either a Roman Catholic or a problem child, and probably both. Now, virtually anybody that can afford to sends their children to private schools. And if you can't afford it, then you've moved to the suburbs. It's what Sam Dixon calls this inexorable move to one more exit down the expressway, trying to get away from the plague of locusts that represents the minority population, which takes over neighborhood after neighborhood. And then, of course, busing drove a final nail in the coffin. None of this stuff was a logical result of the Brown decision, but if you look at a liberal mindset that is bound and determined to enforce some type of egalitarian dogma on America, then it's very predictable. But of course, all that Brown versus Board of Education was supposed to be about is that a child could go to the school nearest to their home, regardless of race. And of course, that is the first of many lies that liberals have told us through the years. I see Bill is going through his gyrations again. We must be running to a break, so let me turn this back over to Bill.
And we are going into break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, lighthouseliterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com, a bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. If it's the last. And welcome back to the political cesspool. I'm Bill Rowland, sitting in tonight as pilot of the political cesspool for James Edwards, who is off on some romp with his wife, and we wish him the best. Hope he's having a good time tonight here with me for the full 3 hours, the remarkable Keith Alexander, and we are discussing the Brown versus Board of Education decision, the notorious Brown versus Board of Education decision, because this is the court ruling that basically derailed American society and sent American public schools, American neighborhoods, American or white neighborhoods, we should say, white neighborhoods and white culture into a retreat and a tailspin. So, Keith, picking up the main thing that we've established here, one of the main things about Brown versus Board of Education, is the bodyguard of lies that put the whole Brown versus Board of Education movement in motion.
If you listen to the people that were arguing for the Brown versus Board of Education result that came about back in 1954, it was this innocent little decision that said that these poor little black children weren't going to be shipped all the way across town to go to some black school. They could go to the nearest public school, whether it was a white school or a black school, and you can almost hear the violins playing in the background. But of course, just like every other representation made by the cultural leftist liberals, it was a palpable lie. Remember how we always hear mainstream conservatives like Sean Hannity just about to, have their voices break and they quiver and they are on the verge of tears, telling us about Martin Luther King's dream for his children that they be judged not by the color of their skin but by the content of their character. In other words, colorblindness. That's what they always argue, but of course that's the furthest thing from their mind. For example, we may have had 15 minutes of colorblindness in American history, the 15 minutes after they passed the 1964 Civil Rights Act, before we moved directly into invidious racial discrimination against whites called affirmative action. We have been under the yoke of affirmative action for all of my adult life. I was a victim of it when I applied to graduate school. And I know I was. I've told people this story before. I had a job working in the registrar's office of the college where I attended. It was a work-study job because I wasn't a wealthy student, and I had to have financial aid, and that was part of my financial aid package. My job was, in 1973, to make a certified copy of any student's transcript that was applying to graduate school, law school, medical school, or trying to transfer. So consequently, since I had access to everybody's transcript, I also had access to their grade point average, all their courses, all their standardized test scores like LSAT, MCAT, GREs, whatnot. So I knew how to compare one student to the next. It was right there in front of me, and I had access to all that information. When I was a senior, I noticed that there was another senior student, a black student, in my class who, like me, was applying to Vanderbilt Law School. I noticed that I had a full grade point higher grade point average than he did. In fact, over one full grade point. Furthermore, I had a 15 point higher score on the LSAT than he did. So I said, well, this is a cinch. I'm going to get in. He's not. But guess who got in and guess who got turned down flat as a flounder? You guessed it, I was turned down even though I had a higher grade point average and a significantly higher LSAT. So this means that affirmative action has been going on since 1973 at the latest. I have done some research on the topic, and actually affirmative action was first instituted in 1969 under that sainted conservatives regime, Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was as big a liberal as Jack Kennedy was. And quite frankly, if he had won the election in 1960, I don't think there would have been a dime's worth of difference, to use George Wallace's phrase, in the course of the civil rights movement. Basically, liberalism was baked into the cake by both parties, and George Wallace was right. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the two. But we've been under affirmative action throughout my entire working career. I am now in my early 60s. But so consequently, my children, everybody that has grown up since I started, entered the workforce, has been either the, every white person has been a victim of affirmative action, whether they know it or not. A lot of people stick their heads in the sand. And of course, affirmative action, again, devolved directly from the Brown decision. We are now what Paul Craig Roberts calls, under a regime he calls the New Feudalism. Basically, in feudal Europe, it was a crime for a serf to strike a noble, and it was a crime for nobles to strike or attack a serf. But it was a much greater crime for a serf to strike a noble than for a noble to strike a serf. We have differential classes now, and in it's very obvious in things like hate crime legislation. Hate crime legislation is written so that it sounds as if it's race neutral. But if you will read the newspaper and listen to the news on the TV and the radio, you see that the only people that are ever charged with hate crimes, racially motivated crimes, are whites. But in reality, almost all of the racially animated crimes are black on white crimes or Hispanic on white crimes. Now, likewise, when it comes to racial discrimination, if you read the 1964 Civil Rights Act, it is race neutral. But who is always being sued for racial discrimination by the EEOC? Who is always the targets? It is institutions that don't hire what our government liberal gurus think are a sufficient number of blacks. When is the last time that the EEOC has really put its muscle behind any effort to punish any institution, private or public, for discriminating against white people? Again, we are the new serfs under the new feudalistic system. And again, this was all progeny of the Brown decision. So we can't, first of all, in terms of racial politics and racial dynamics in America, Brown was the beginning of all of that, but it was also the camel's nose in the tent for all of liberalism. Basically, the Brown decision represented the first great triumph of modern liberalism in American society. And I tell people that there would never have been a Roe versus Wade decision if there hadn't been a Brown versus Board of Education decision. There would never have been a Obamacare if there hadn't been a Civil Rights Act of 1964, and there would never have been a 1964 Civil Rights Act if there had not been the Brown decision. Once you let, as the Arabs say, the camel's nose in the tent, before you know it, the camel has moved into the tent and you've been moved out of your tent. That's what's happened to white America. And they're not slowing down a bit. It's like the toilet bowl. The vortex keeps spinning faster as you get down towards the bottom. They are bound and determined they're going to destroy what they consider to be the unfair white cultural hegemony in America. And, of course, it is this white hegemony that is the directly responsible for our prosperity and greatness as a nation. I will dare say this, and I dare say, I want somebody to contradict this or prove that it's wrong. If a black or an Hispanic person lives in a first world society or nation, they live in a nation that is dominated by white people and white interests. There are no white, there are no black nations or Hispanic nations. There are some non-white nations. There are Asian nations like Japan and Korea, Singapore or whatnot, or Israel or Dubai or Kuwait that are first world nations. But all the non-white first world nations have one thing in common. They're reserved exclusively for their indigenous population. They don't allow black, Hispanics, or other third worlders in. In fact, the Japanese are so dead set against letting third worlders immigrate to their country that they lead the world in robotics. They would rather devise a machine to scrub up their aging population in nursing homes than let in Filipinos or Cambodians or anyone else to come in and do the dirty work of society, because they know where that leads, and they aren't about to let third worlders in. The only way that a third worlder enjoys the benefits of the first world is when they come to a white nation. How do you like those apples, Bill?
Well, it's simply the truth. White population of this country is surrendering our prerogatives, and because we've impaled ourselves on the temp poles of multiculturalism and egalitarianism. We've impaled ourselves on our enemies' prerogatives. We've got a break coming up. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to The Political Cesspool.
Don't go away, The Political Cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked, as settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Don't make me tell you again. James Edwards is not on the show tonight, and it's Bill Rowland and Keith Alexander in the studio. It's a radio-free James night. James is off enjoying himself somewhere. He certainly deserves a vacation. He's a young man, and we wish him the best. Keith, we are talking about the Brown versus the Board of Education decision that took place in 1954, a disaster for white America. And white America was America in 1954. Let's not deceive ourselves with a lot of multicultural propaganda. America was white America in 1954.
In fact, it was so white that 90% of the American population was white in 1960. You know, that's hard to imagine now, but the left hates the white Gentile founding stock of America. And Brown was just the first volley in a culture war to try to bring that down and to change the demographic complexion. They knew that they could not win and that liberalism could not triumph as long as people in America were basically, one, the founding stock, and two, white. So what did they do? They did the 1965 Immigration Act, sponsored by Ted Kennedy and that good son of Israel in the House, Emanuel Seller. And what that did was it turned on its head the typical and traditional preferences for immigration to America. Rather than allowing white Europeans preference to come to America, everybody but white Europeans were given preference. And Ted Kennedy sat in front of the Senate and lied his head off and said this would not make any type of significant change in the demographic mix of America, when that was precisely what the 65 Immigration Act was intended to do. So now we're trying to make this utopian nation made up of a conglomeration of all of the people of the world, and we are telling ourselves a lie that they can all succeed to the same extent, that there's no difference between third worlders from Somalia and first worlders from Norway, for example, coming to America. And that we can let all of these third worlders in and we're going to have a better and more prosperous and more unified America than we had in 1960. But where in human history has this type of diversity led to anything but chaos and cacophony? That's what we've got. That's what the left wants. They want to bring down the old white hegemony. But the white hegemony was the reason America was prosperous. And just look throughout the world. Where are the destinations for third worlders? Where do third worlders want to go? Do they want to go to non-white countries? They want to go to white countries because they know that white people are the key to prosperity, but they can't bring themselves to admit that they need white people in order to be prosperous. There's a parasite host relationship there. Don't kill the dog or all the fleas will die. Well, when non-white people begin to predominate and their ways begin to predominate, and of course the left encourages these third world immigrants not to assimilate. They're told that they basically are to come here and just recreate their own societies under more prosperous circumstances, and that's what they want. That's what, for example, when we get Hispanics here in Memphis, they take over entire neighborhoods, and you will see businesses that have all of their signage and all their billboards entirely in Spanish. They're basically thumbing their nose or shooting the bird at the Anglo or the traditional language of Americans, English. They don't want their business. They just want to carve out a little Mexican enclave or a little Hispanic or Latino enclave here in America. Well, other third worlders are encouraged to do the same thing, and as a result, what used to hold America together is now spinning apart. We've got centrifugal forces, and that's what the left intended to do, and it began again with the Brown decision. Once you had the Brown decision, you went first from black people are the same as or just as good as white people. These are all radical egalitarian movements. Then you went to criminal law. Criminals are the same as or just as good as law-abiding citizens. The left, quite frankly, has a soft spot in its heart for criminals. They think they do a wonderful job of destabilizing bourgeois society, and they don't want them hampered in performing their useful task. So they came up with all of these Supreme Court decisions under the leftist Warren Court, like Gideon versus Wainwright, like Miranda versus Arizona, like Escobedo versus Arizona, the Batson case. All of these things were intended to make it more difficult to apprehend and prosecute criminals, And as a result, criminality has exploded exponentially in America. Okay, so we have first blacks, then criminals, then you have women are the same as or just as good as men. But of course, women and men are very different. And when you blend the roles, you see a decline in birth rates and a decline in the family. And of course, all of this is intended, it's having its intended purpose, which is shrinking the birth rates of the responsible part of society, in other words, the white part of society. Meanwhile, this is a golden age for the irresponsible part of society. You don't have to work. You're going to get government benefits. You're going to get affirmative action for jobs and admission to selective schools if you're non-white. So consequently, everything is being done that possibly can be done to encourage high birth rates among non-whites, and everything's being done to discourage high birth rates in the white population. And again, it began with the Brown decision. Every last one of these developments is not coincidental. First you had black rights, then criminal rights, then feminism, then illegal aliens are the same as or just as good as lawful citizens. We had the 65 Civil Rights, Immigration Act. We had Baker versus Carr and the Voter Rights Act of 1965 to basically facilitate voter fraud and to vary from the safeguard that the Founding Fathers built into our Constitution when they gave Delaware and Rhode Island the same number of senators as Virginia and Massachusetts. The Baker versus Carr decision, which emanated right from here in Shelby County, Tennessee, basically said we had to go to a one-man, one-vote situation in every state in the Union so the states could no longer pattern their voting precincts and their legislatures on the same basis as the federal government. See, the Founding Fathers were very suspicious and opposed to one-man, one-vote. We worship it. Likewise, this egalitarianism they were opposed to as well. Alexander Hamilton called the people a great beast because that was just an extreme way of saying that we don't want a democracy, we want a republic. Because you can't, when you allow everybody equality at the voting booth, what's going to happen is the poor part of the population is going to find that they can overwhelm the responsible and the wage-earning part. And, of course, we're pumping into America more and more of these irresponsible people, third worlders all the time, people that are living on a cornucopia of public benefits, particularly federal benefits. And as a result, why are they going to vote for any restriction on the growth of government? They want government to grow, so every immigrant to America, particularly every third world immigrant, is going to be a natural born Democrat and a natural born liberal for at least three generations. That's why they're doing it. Then after you had illegal immigration, then you had homosexuals are the same as or just as good as lawful citizens, another body blow to the traditional family, and that's what it was intended for, and that's what it's doing. Then you get to the really absurd things like environmentalism. Plants and animals are the same as human beings or just as good as human beings. Again, trying to take away all the advantages of first world lifestyle that have made America great in the first place, they're trying to deprive us of. You know, we ran something on the website this week of how in Europe, you can get a vehicle that gets 78 miles a gallon, but they won't allow that type of engine to be put in a car sold in America. Our elites hate the average American citizen, and when you realize that even today, despite all of this liberal assault on the white population, white Gentiles still make up the majority of the people in America, then you understand what's going on, and the process, unfortunately, all began with the Brown decision.
Well, no doubt. And, as actually affirmative action has extended, as you say, to the prison system, where now, the claims of unequal prosecution and there are too many blacks in the prison system. Well, it's a reverse. Well, in order to equalize the prison system, you're going to arrest more white people or free more blacks. And the completely absurd part of that argument is that probably 80 to 90% of blacks who are incarcerated right now committed their crimes in black neighborhoods. They committed their crimes against other blacks. And so you're freeing blacks to go back to these neighborhoods and commit more crimes. So I see we're coming up on a break. We've got a caller we'll have to take in the next hour. And, of course, we'll have news following at 7 o'clock. And we'll look for you. Come back. The Political Cesspool.
Comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 8th.